Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Now he is seated in the place of the highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Think about all he has endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you don't become weary and give up.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice.
Okay, well, I get the pleasure of praying for the offering. And there is a scripture that says, where your treasure is, your heart also is. But every time I read that, I think, where your heart is, your treasure is also. Because don't we give where our heart is? All these wonderful missions, it's our heart that causes us to give. So, Father, we just thank you that you love us, that you provide everything we need, Lord, and then some. So, Lord, we are grateful to you for everything we have. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to give. So now, Lord, we give unto you because your church is part of you. So we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we give with all our hearts. Amen. That's okay. Okay. Yeah, we are. And guess what? We're going to just keep learning and learning. And so you'll have to excuse my cough drop thing in my mouth because I started like not having a smooth throat. So I'm using that right now. Okay. So turn to Luke 1, Luke chapter 1. Do you remember last week we were going in Luke chapter 1? Well, I'm going to refer to that again. You're going to know this Christmas story pretty well, if you haven't already. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 17. But the angel said to him, this is to Zechariah, do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Then we go on, and then we go to where Mary is visited by the angel, the same angel, Gabriel. And in verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her after she had asked, I don't understand, how can this be? I have not known a man, but the Holy Spirit, he says to her, will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. This is one of my favorite verses. For nothing will be impossible with God. Luke 1:37. And then we see in verse 42, when Elizabeth greets Mary, she goes, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her of the Lord. So, today, we are going to character trait number 10. And character trait number 10 is called The Irresistible Church Takes Risks. Takes risks. So, I would say, I don't know about you, but Mary took a risk. She took a risk in obeying the Lord. She was like, wow, she knew what this would do. She knew this was not going to be easy. She was going to go through trials and tribulations, bringing the Lord's Son to earth. She was going to face ridicule and scorn from people. She was betrothed. She wasn't married to Joseph. Women were going to look at her and people were going to talk behind her back. She took a risk to be obedient, to be willing to be that tool, that vessel, that instrument that God was going to use for his purpose, and it was for his glory. Elizabeth took a risk. Zacharias took a risk in being obedient. Now, in that risk that Zacharias took, he doubted a little. There was a little bit of a consequence there. He wouldn't speak until the baby was born. Zacharias, still being obedient to the Lord, took a risk by not going what culture said to do and name his child after him. No, he named his child what God told him to name it. And that son was named John. John, meaning God is gracious. See, remember, we are Elizabeth's and we are Mary's, because we all, God has chosen for us to take a risk as we follow his will, his perfect plan, his perfect purpose for each of us, which he had created before we were even born, just as he did Mary and Elizabeth. And so God is calling us to be, as Mary's name, wise woman, to be wise, to take that risk, as Elizabeth's name means, God's promise, my God is generous. See, as Zacharias, we also have God is remembered. See, God remembered us, and he has a plan and a purpose for each of us, knowing that we are going to be human and sometimes struggle with that doubt, that lack of faith, that unbelief. And just as his love and his mercy and his grace was with Zacharias, he is asking us to choose to take that risk. And sometimes it'll be against culture. And he wants us to be obedient. He wants us to go forth with a John, with his graciousness with us because of our obedience. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, Paul was reading this the other day, and he really felt the Lord speaking to him about our church, for us. And he was saying, Karen, I just really felt that. And I said, well, this coincides, and it's like confirmation of what others have said. See, remember on one of our character traits, it was connect everything with the soul. You've heard me often say how we need to remember everybody is on their way either to heaven or to hell. Everybody we come in contact with. And those that are on their way to heaven, they need encouragement along the way and help. It is not easy as they are taking risks in obedience to God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also besides the 12 disciples and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So there they were representing the Lord as we are to represent the Lord, as we are to go and tell and be that Elizabeth and tell them that Jesus is coming soon and what he has for them as we are wise women, wise in going out and telling them that Jesus is there for them. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Talk about risk takers. He is asking us to go out as lambs among wolves. And that's what we're going to be facing out there. But as we are Marys, wise, and we are Elizabeths, we are going out not alone, but with a generous God that will fulfill his promise and his purpose for each and every one of us, if we are willing to be that risk taker. Are we willing to be obedient? That's not always easy to do, but we need to be obedient for him. See, as we develop this discipleship program for next year, we know that we are developing, even each of us, helping us to continue to grow in him, to be awesome disciples, but helping others when they come in and know Jesus to grow in him, to also be disciples. See, we're not supposed to just stay here and be, you know, have our good time. We are here to encourage one another. We are here to grow in the Lord, but we are here to help each other to be equipped to go back out, get refueled and go back out and then get refueled and then go back out. And that refueling, remember, isn't just here. That's our time with the Lord continuously throughout the week. This is God's ways of having different charge batteries in a sense for us. As we are in the Word, as we are praying, as we are listening to the Holy Spirit, being obedient, being those risk takers that he's calling us out to be, and helping each other, encouraging one another, praying with one another. So we go on in verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you, each and every one of us who have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Nothing. That is a risk taker's power. That is what he's asking us to do when he's having us take risks. It's because he knows we have the power and authority of his name, of that promised gift of love to us, Jesus, and that blood that covers us. That power is with each and every one of us. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, the glory goes to him. Just as Jesus says in John 14, we will do even greater things than he did, so that the glory will not go to even Jesus. He will then turn it to the Heavenly Father. It is all for God's glory. It is not about us. It is about Him. And it is about His love to others. We are His vessels, His instruments to be used to help others know about His love, to share His love to one another, because we are human and we're going to go through times that are not always going to be great. And when we go through those times that are rough times, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, we need one another to help charge each other up.
Amen.
To help encourage each other. To help lift each other up and take the hand. Take the arm. That is our job. To help each other to continue on to be those risk takers that God's called us to be. Risk in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. I love going to that one. The noun form, it says, it goes on a bunch of different ways of different languages and what it means and what in this language. And basically it was saying that the senses of pushing forward, to be bold, hardy, to dare, to drive forward. Hazard, danger, peril, exposure to harm. Now, we think of that, right? An example, he, at the risk of his life, saved a drowning man. We are to help save those out there because they are drowning and they don't even realize they are. Many. Some do, some don't. And we are to help them. And then in the verb form, it says to hazard, to endanger, to expose to injury or loss, as to risk goods on board of a ship or to risk one's person in battle. We, remember, are soldiers, are warriors for the Lord God. We need to go out and risk in the battle that's going on for the souls of other people. The battle that's going on for other Christians, that Satan doesn't want them to be effective Christians. He doesn't want them to be the risk takers either. We are to help one another to do that. We are to be risk takers too. We need to risk one's fame by a publication and to risk life in defense of rights. Because many rights are being taken away here in America. And we need to be risk takers to stand up boldly in the truth and the love of our Lord God, but firmly, and do what we can, whether it is prayer, whether it is calling our senators, our representatives, in some way, being that influence, doing what we can, helping centers like Crisis Pregnancy Center and Family First Pregnancy Center. We need to help these type of things and help on voting. Get in touch with the CAP, the Center of Arizona Policy. That is a Christian-based organization. We need to pray for our governor. We need to pray for our mayor. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our military. This is part of being a risk taker. Going to battle with the spiritual war for a power of prayer. And then it goes on to venture, to dare to undertake, to risk a battle or combat. Why? Because Jesus said, we have His authority, His power for this battle. Andy Andrews, Debbie, do you remember this? And Melissa, do you remember at the Women of Faith Conference, Andy Andrews? Some of you may have heard of him. And we had the pleasure of hearing him, and he was an enjoyable speaker. He had gone through a horrendous battle in his life. He lost both of his parents. His life was doing really well. And then at 19, he lost the mother to cancer and his father in 1 year to a car accident. And that devastation, he made a lot of bad choices with the pain from that. And he wound up being basically homeless, sometimes under a pier, sometimes it's staying in someone's garage. And he was like, okay, Lord. He started asking questions. I have a choice. How did other people make choices? So I read an article that he had online when I was doing research. It was neat how I love doing the research, because it's neat how God guides and directs things. And I came about this, and I go, Andy Andrews, I know him. And I go, wow, this is so weird. Well, three reasons why you should take more risks. And then he goes on to say that one of the things I've learned to embrace in life is the art of taking risks. Now, when I say risks, I'm not talking about betting your savings account on a horse or racing a horse race or going skydiving. I'm talking about doing things that most people would consider to be out of the ordinary. See, Mary was a risk taker. Elizabeth was a risk taker. We have many men and women in the Bible and since then and before that were risk takers, that went on before us, that are mentioned in the Bible, and have gone on since the time of the Bible's time. See, we have many, many risk takers. See, he says, I'm talking about putting yourself in an uncomfortable position in order to create massive change. See, not only massive change in our life, but massive change in others. That is a risk taker. So, why do that? Here are three reasons. It says, if you want an extraordinary life, you need to have to take some risks. And then he goes on to say, the point number two, risks bring about change. It brought about change in Mary. It brought about change in Elizabeth. It brought about change in the apostles, the disciples at that time when Jesus ordered them to go out. It brought about change in the lives that they touched when they were willing to be those risk takers. Change can be great, but change can be scary. And then his third point, he says, more risks we need to take, fewer regrets. There was a recent article in The Guardian titled Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. A nurse who had spent a good deal of time working with dying patients recorded the reasons. Here is the number one regret she recorded. She said that most people said, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. See, Mary chose to be a risk taker. She chose to have that faith and the courage to not be afraid and to do what the Lord told her to do through the angel Gabriel. And then we have Elizabeth and Zacharias. They were risk takers. We have Joseph, who then took on Mary. He was a risk taker. We have many risk taker examples. See, that they knew that this Christ, the promised Messiah, was the one that would help other risk takers from then on to be empowered to go out and continue to be with the Lord continuously, because he also knew the Holy Spirit would be with them always. Wow. He says, read that second part again. Not the life others expected of me. That statement identifies the biggest hurdle to overcome when taking risks and doing things differently. Denying what others expect of you. The nurse went on to say most people had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had made or not made. Choices they had not made. Risks they did not take, change they were unwilling to face. You will never know whether you could have done something if you don't take a risk. Don't live a life of regrets. We see that in the Word of God too. Those who regret it. Just think of Zacharias. If he would have believed instantly, he would have been able to talk all that time. God's love and mercy was there in the midst of that. And we see the consequence of Moses. Power and authority, a risk taker, leading the people. And then we see him with the rod, the authority that he was given, helping him along the way, helping him lead the people, just as the Word of God is referred to as our rod. But we also see Moses, not always being obedient with that, when he spoke to the rock, the first time he was told to hit it. The next time he was told just to speak, but he didn't. A consequence. God's love and mercy and grace was there. He was a risk taker. But one of the promises that he had, everybody to go to the promised land, he was not able to step into. He was just able to see. A regret. A regret. See, we need to be risk takers, fully, constantly leaning on the Lord God, trusting in Him to empower us to do what we need to do. But we need to be willing to listen to Him and obey Him completely and fully. That is not always easy to do as a risk taker. Because sometimes that's going against the grain of others, even well-meaning Christians. That is why it is so important for us to spend that time in the Word, to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, and to be obedient to what He is telling us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Hebrews chapter 11. Wow. This is the book, the chapter of the example of risk takers. We have Noah, we have Abraham, we have Joseph, we have Moses, we have Joshua, we have Rahab. Now, taking a look at Joshua, chapters 1 through 6 in the book of Joshua, the walls of Jericho coming down, the story includes the risk takers Joshua and Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho. Rahab is one of those who is chosen by God for the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ to come through, as we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua rewarded for his obedience to the Lord in recognition, as we see mentioned. See, Joshua was a risk taker. Joshua was told to do what? March around and sing praises to the Lord? March around? I mean, most people would go to war in a different way. But Joshua was a risk taker, going against the way battles usually were won, being obedient to the Lord God. This was a unique and different way. The only way that we see in this time, our God is a creative God, and He was willing to take that risk and be obedient. He was also willing to take the risk of what other people would say, and He ordered that Rahab would be saved and all that were with her. That was a risk, and people were talking. You know they were talking. And those people that were talking didn't realize that God had chosen Rahab, a risk taker, who honored and feared the people and the Lord God of Israel. And she was the one that was willing to take a risk and hide those that she loved in her household and risk her life making sure the spies could come up. See? And escape. They were the ones that were risk takers in this story. Major risk takers. Joshua chapter 6 verse 27 says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country." See, this is what it's about. We need to bring fame to His name, not us. Hebrews chapter 11, that faith chapter, verses 32 through 34, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." These risk takers that are mentioned in the chapter 11 of Hebrews, these risk takers were bringing fame to His name, knowing that it would be published for him. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, I said it last week, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We are chosen by God, as we have received his Son, to be empowered by his Son, to be risk takers. We are the ones, as Galatians 3, 26 and 29 talk about, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That promise that we have is ours. The promise of Jesus Christ, and includes all the fullness of God, which includes over 3,000 promises in this Bible for us, to empower us and help us as we are risk takers. Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it mentions Peter. Remember? Peter, one who failed, one who denied the Lord 3 times. The one who God knew when he created Peter that he would do this, knew that Peter then would recognize what he had done and repent and be restored to be the risk taker of the powering the rock the church was built on. Acts 1:14, he starts and he says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And in those days, they were all in one accord, just as we are. They were in prayer, just as we do on Tuesday nights also. They were in one accord. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples all together. The number of names was about 120. And said, Peter risked conforming to the crowd by taking Jesus. See, he spoke up. And he started speaking out to them, each and every one. He was the one that stood up because he remembered the forgiveness words from Jesus. He remembered Jesus' heart. He remembered what Jesus came for. He remembered what he had through Jesus. What? That blood that was shed on the cross. It was for him and everyone who at times will fail. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he remembered that. He remembered that nothing is impossible through him. He remembered that he is empowered by him and restored and redeemed by him. And that is how he spoke up and started speaking the first sermon, building the church. He was under the blood and claiming the power of the name of the Savior that loved him. That is what we need to do. Because you see, every day approximately 150,000 people die, while only 20% of professing Christians share their faith. That is not a good statistic. We need to be risk takers. And God has called us at Pathway of Hope to be risk takers. Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 27 through 31, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is happening here, and you're going to see more. As we join together in that unity of God's love, we are going to be bold. We are going to be empowered to be more and more the risk takers as we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and go out and do, because He is going to create opportunities for us. This is why we have these different areas to go out in these different Christian ministries, because we are all one body of Christ. We are all going to join together as our church grows and we have more. We are going to be able to have some of our own ministries that will empower and help others. And then others will help us as we also continue to help others. We are all one body of Christ. This takes risks because not everybody wants to cross that denominational line. We are called to not have denominations. Foursquare was never called to be a denominational church. It was called, and on the cornerstone at Angela's Temple, it says, Interdenominational Worldwide Evangelism. It says that is what it was dedicated to, and we are continuing to do that. Angela's Temple, the Dream Center, which used to be Life Bible College, this is working together, two different organizations, Assemblies of God and the Foursquare. The pastor, Barnett, there, he is fully Foursquare when he's in Angela's Temple. But then he is fully Assemblies of God when he's working with Dream Center. Totally working together. Because why? Because he knows that we are one body of Christ. They are reaching and helping the people that are in desperate need, preaching the truth. And that is what we are doing. We are going to be out there risk-taking. We are going to be praying for all of these other churches. We are going to be praying for these other ministries. We are going to be praying blessings on them, that they will grow and prosper and be obedient to the Lord and be risk-takers that He has called us to be. It is not just us. We cannot do it alone. There are many that need help, and we need to help one another to do that. In this painting right here, the above oil painting by Mauricio Palacio, entitled Who Cares, was commissioned in 1993 by Last Days Ministries, which was founded by Keith Green. It was a depiction of a vision that William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, had one day. Remember Amy Sumbaugh McPherson? She had deep roots in the Salvation Army. Vision is a powerful thing. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. It is interesting how God used vision or revelation throughout the Bible to speak to the people and even communicate His heart to them. As Booth was traveling in his coach, he was looking out the window and saw the condition of the people around him. He recounts that people were living carelessly and in shameless rebellion against God without a thought for their internal welfare. He says, as I looked out of the window, I seemed to see them all, millions of people all around me giving up to their drink and their pleasure, their dancing and their music, their business and their anxieties, their politics and their troubles, ignorant. Willfully ignorant in many cases, and in other instances, knowing all about the truth and not caring at all. But all of them, the whole mass of them, sweeping on and up in their blasphemies and devilries to the throne of God. See, he had a vision. And then he said, I saw a dark and stormy ocean. And this is the vision that the artist. He goes on. You could read this article. I'm not going to read it all. But it goes on and on and on, describing the vision. See, the rock rose up representing the Lord God and the platform. And people got onto the platform. Remember we were singing about the rock last week, Pastor Janet? And then the people, though, they're getting comfortable because there's still not a people drowning there. And he's saying, so they're busy, you know, and they're busy talking about their theological debates and they're and growing in the Lord and that, you know, and then they're busy, oh, well, you know, making themselves look nice and doing their artistry work and their gifts and talents and building up their bodies. And then they're kind of like talking and visiting, but there's people drowning. Remember the lifesaver? Oh, one just kind of throws it out there, but kind of ignores it. See, Jesus wants us, as here in Hebrews 10:24-25, he wants us to get together to be recharged. He wants us to help one another. But he also then wants us to get back in because he's taught us to swim in this stormy ocean. He has given us the command to not be taken down by this ocean of this storm, but instead to help and help save the lives and get them on the platform. He wants us to then sometimes get up there, dry off, kind of refuel, and then get a new bathing suit on and get back into that stormy ocean. He wants us to take risks to save the lives of those that don't even realize they're drowning. Rescue the Perishing by Fanny Crosby. It says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Fanny Crosby says that it was written in the year 1869 when I was 49 years old. Many of my hymns were written after experiences in the New York mission work. This one was thus written, Rescue the Perishing. I was addressing a large company of working men one hot summer evening when the thought kept forcing itself on my mind that some mother's boy must be rescued that night or not at all. One of those perishing. So I made a pressing plea that if there was a boy present who had wandered from his mother's home and teaching, he would come to me at the close of the service. And a young man of 18 came forward and said, did you mean me? I promised my mother to meet her in heaven, but as I am now living, that will be impossible. Remember, we live and praise and worship an impossible God. We prayed for him, and he finally arose with a new light in his eyes and exclaimed in triumph, now I can meet my mother in heaven, for I have found God. Through Jesus, his Lord and Savior. A few days before, Mr. Doan had sent me the subject, Rescue the Perishing. And while I sat there that evening, the line came to me, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. I could think of nothing else that night. When I arrived in my home, I went to work at it at once. And before I retired, the entire hymn was ready for a melody. The next day, my words were written and forwarded to Mr. Doan, and then he wrote the beautiful and touching music as it now stands. In November of 1903, I went to Lynn, Massachusetts to speak before the Young Men's Christian Association. I told them the accident that led me to write Rescue the Perishing, as I have just related it. After the meeting, a large number of men shook hands with me. Among them was a man who seemed to be deeply moved. Remember, she cannot see. She is blind. You may imagine my surprise when he said, Miss Crosby, I was the boy who told you more than 35 years ago that I had wandered from my mother's God. The evening that you spoke at the mission, I sought and found peace. And I have tried to live a consistent Christian life ever since. If we never meet again on earth, we will meet up on yonder. And as he said this, he raised my hand to his lips. And before I had recovered from my surprise, he had gone and remains to this day a nameless friend who touched a deep chord of sympathy in my heart. It is these notes of sympathy that vibrate when a voice calls them forth from the dim memories of the past, and the music is celestial. May our hearts break for what breaks our Father's heart, and may his Spirit so fill us, his good news becomes like a burning fire in us, as Jeremiah 29 and 23:29 talks about, in our bosom, and we cannot hold it in for the sake of Jesus, who is mighty to say. See, He sought and found peace, and that's what Silent Night is about. This night, this time of remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior, this is how we can rest on the King's bed, the King-sized bed of rest. He is our peace, not the world. That can't give us our peace. He is, and we have that. So we need to offer that to others by being risk takers. We need to go out. There is another song by Billy Foote, who wrote this, Rescue the Perishing, and using a lot of Fanny Crosby, but at the end, it's a beautiful YouTube video. If you guys want to watch it, you can't watch it without crying. But it says, as we were playing our songs in his bridge, as we were playing our songs while we're singing them well, have we forgotten the lost, the reality of hell? If we say we love God, want to see his will we offer our lives or just the songs we have sung? Do we even care? When will we care? Our church is not to be a church of just ourselves. Our church is to be a church that cares. We are to be his hands and his feet. And he's going to call us out to be risk takers. And we need to be those risk takers. But we need him. We need his power. We need his charge. And we need the power of prayer. And that's us, each and every one of us being a part of that. Whether you could be here on Tuesday nights or not, you can be praying where you're at. Or you could be praying in other times if you have to work, man. But you need to be praying, remember, for Pathway of Hope 7 days a week. I'm just asking for 7 minutes a day for 7 days a week. But we need to continuously be always praying for here, Pathway of Hope. We need to be praying always for the lost and for helping us and others to reach. We need to be praying for us to be those risk takers that God has called us to be. So we need to be willing when the Lord speaks to us, like he did as he spoke to Mary, as he spoke to Zacharias in regards to Elizabeth through the angel Gabriel. We need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be willing to listen to the Lord God through his word. And when we are praying, and we need to be willing to be those risk takers when he's called us to be. We need to truly, genuinely, continuously be filled with his love so we can extend his love to others. We need to be risk takers. Pastor Janet, do you want me to... Amen. I mean, we want to help there to be a party going on in heaven where the angels are rejoicing because there's more and more people that are saved or backslidden that come back or of apostate side that come back. We are going to be out there and helping the party to continue to go on in heaven as we are risk takers for him, for his glory, because the fame is for him, not for us. Amen. Remember the prayer altar ministry. Please use the power of prayer too. As Chris and Dick are over here for the prayer altar ministry, let us go before the throne of God and claim that power in his name. I'm going to pray over you. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 and Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. May the Lord bless you, watch over you, guard you, and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto you. And may the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace. For he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He says that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon the Lord God and go and pray to the Lord God, and he will listen to you. And you will seek the Lord God Almighty and find him when you search him with all your heart. Heavenly Father, as we search you with all our heart, as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord God, may you continue to give us the ideas, what you want us to do. Help us to know exactly what you want us to do, to be the risk takers for you, Lord God, and for your glory. I thank you for the opportunities that you are providing for this next week for us to be the risk takers for your glory, for your fame, for your name. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.